Hi, my name is Julie. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm covering from fear and control. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you so much for blessing with me with this opportunity. It's amazing how you've changed my story from what I'm going to share to today. You have saved my life physically, emotionally, spiritually, and in every way I can't even imagine. Please calm my nerves and use my story to touch those in this room. In your name I pray, amen. My childhood seemed perfect. I had loving parents, two younger siblings, and my earliest memories involve my tricycle, Minnie Mouse bedding, and singing to my cassette player. My dad is a pastor, and my mom homeschooled us. We were a close family, and nothing could burst that bubble. Then when I was age 12, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. The only thing I knew about cancer was that my grandmother had died from it. So in my youth, cancer equaled death. My mom was going to die, and for the first time, I truly experienced fear. I could not escape it. I woke to it. I fell asleep to it. I waited for my nightmare to become true. It totally consumed my every thought. My mom did survive, but struggled with severe depression while going through chemo. I secretly watched her, wondering what had happened. Eventually, life returned to normal, but my life was changed forever. My eyes had been opened to the brokenness of this world, and I was very fearful of it. I walked around waiting for the next bad thing to happen. Throughout my school years, I tried to control and manipulate situations to prevent my fears from coming true, but felt like I was living from one drama to another. I would obsess over test grades because I was afraid I wouldn't be able to get scholarships into the private university my parents attended. I was afraid no one liked me, so I was outgoing in order to have plenty of friends. I obeyed my parents so I wouldn't feel like a failure. I was proud of my father and his PhD, and I wanted his life. So I did everything I could to put myself on a successful path. But life never seemed to go as I planned. The more things didn't go as I wanted, the more I tried to control the outcome the next time. My only boyfriend would compare me with the girls in his past relationships. I tried my hardest to be his favorite. But I quickly realized he wanted me to sacrifice my morals, and I broke things off. After that, I couldn't wait for high school to be over and to have a fresh start in life. I began dating Scott my freshman year. He had a smile and a laugh that stood out in a room. He treated me with a gentleness and respect I had never experienced. But soon my issues of fear and control surfaced. I started controlling the situation by skipping class or blowing off homework or girl time to be with Scott. Eventually, I isolated myself from everyone except him. I was failing classes, had zero girlfriends, and my fresh start felt like a big failure. I did not want to be a burden on anyone, so I stuffed my feelings of worthlessness and fear. I was definitely not my father. After returning home for good after my freshman year, I was diagnosed with chronic depression. I lost 30 needed pounds that year because I would forget to eat. I refused to admit that I needed help until one day when I came face to face with another fear. Scott and I had gotten into an argument. I slammed myself into the bathroom, and the room began to spin out of control. I do not even remember it happening. I just remember when the room stopped spinning. I was shocked. I was sitting in the bathtub covered in my own blood. Shame and guilt overwhelmed me. I had cut myself. I could not believe I could hate myself and my life this much. This was a game changer. I reluctantly confessed soon after and realized that not only was I hurting myself, but Scott and my family were hurting because of my actions. So I finally started to seek help. After doctor's help and being put on the correct medicine, I thought I was fixed and continued to live life in fear and leaning on myself. Medicine can be a great blessing, but at this time in my life, it was becoming my idol and savior. After 3 years of dating, Scott and I got married and my fears grew. What if something happened to my husband? What if I was left on my own? What if he can't find a job after school? Where are we going to move? The list continued. After his graduation, we moved to Dallas. It was a crazy journey, better told at another time. But shortly after moving here, I hit the lowest point of my life. We were driving to a wedding in Arkansas. Scott was asleep and I was driving. I wanted to wreck the car and die. I remember gripping the steering wheel as hard as I could while I debated in my head. But I wanted Scott to live, so I stayed on the road. We got to the wedding and I found myself in the car alone, on the phone with my mother, screaming that I wanted to die. She hung up on me and immediately called my husband. He ran out to me and we left the wedding before it began. Scott drove me to my parents in Oklahoma, and I decided to seek treatment again. I quickly ended up in an outpatient program at a mental hospital in Dallas. At this point, I was also diagnosed with an anxiety disorder and mild obsessive-compulsive disorder. This was my breaking point. I didn't need any more quick fixes. I needed a life transformation. We had been attending Watermark for about 1 year when I found out about regeneration. I immediately knew it was for me. I originally went to recovery for depression, but during the steps, I learned that in my situation, depression was not the problem. I did not need to confess my situation, but I needed to confess my response to the situation. Instead of trusting God when I was diagnosed, I responded in fear and trusted in my own strength. When trusting in my own strength, I failed, and the depression worsened every time. I had step one, admit, all wrong. I had no problem confessing my situation and the wrongs done to me, but I failed to see my part in the story. I played the victim and blamed my health for all of my bad choices. Then in step two, I believed in God, but not his power to restore and redeem my story in life. Step three is trust. This was very difficult for me. I was used to living in fear and trying everything within my power to prevent those fears. Step four is inventory. Mine was long, especially when it came to my fears. I had let years of daydreaming about what ifs and maybes build up. I also had resentments towards everyone who had ever abandoned me, betrayed me, or belittled me. These incidences contributed to my fears. Step five, confess, and step six, repent, were a new practice for me. I thought that Jesus had already forgiven me, so what's the point of confessing it? I learned at Regen that the point is to bring your sin to the light. To expose the sin is to be set free. Satan works really well in secret and holds you captive to those secret sins. The next three steps, follow, forgive, and amends, stretched my faith even further. I thought to forgive was to forget. But there were things I just could not forget. Regen taught me that forgiveness releases me from the pain and bitterness of keeping those memories alive. I may not be able to forget, but to forgive is to release the situation to the Lord. I now know how to hand over my pain to God, which allows me to heal. Then the last three, continue, intimacy, and regenerate, taught me how to actually live in recovery. I learned how to daily apply the steps and how to share this freedom in Christ with others. During recovery, I met with a diverse group of women from all walks of life. I realized I wasn't the only person with fears, and some of these women were living in my worst fears. And yet, they were there just like me. I learned that it doesn't matter what the circumstance is, we all must trust the Lord. None of us can live a hope-filled life apart from the true and perfect God that is Jesus Christ. The decision I had made as a child to follow Jesus was put to the test. Was this just my parents' faith or my own? I can say that my faith is my own. We are all sinners. We all have struggles. And we all deserve a place in hell. But Jesus loved us so much that he died for us. He rose from the dead and is waiting for us to accept this free gift of grace. I had head knowledge about Jesus, but I had to make sure that I was trusting him daily with my heart. I handed everything over to God during my time in recovery. Joel 2:25 states, "I will restore to you the years the swarming locusts have eaten." Instead of trying again for a fresh start in life, I found myself being cleansed, redeemed, and made whole. I no longer had to run in fear from my past or try to control my future. I felt free to live my own story and not someone else's. After my celebration night with my region group, I had to make an ongoing decision to live my recovery daily. I was near the end of my first pregnancy, and I could fear my fears building up again. I was considered a high-risk pregnancy because of health issues that required medication. I worried if my baby would be affected by my health. Would he have a safe birth? Would I be able to handle delivery? And what about after? Would I make a good mom? Would my baby be safe from harm? You get the picture. This is when I had to continue applying the steps. I admitted my fears to God and others I was in community with. I also had to trust God and confess my temptations to control. When walking intimately with him, I was able to feel freedom from my fears. I realized peace and hope like never before. Last July, I gave birth to a perfect baby boy. I am understanding God's love for me in ways I never understood until he blessed me with Micah. I am learning that I must trust my Heavenly Father the same fearless way my 9-month-old trusts me. One night after Micah was born, I couldn't sleep. I was afraid to fall asleep because I thought he would die if I did. The next morning, I read in Psalms 121:1-3, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber." I realized that even though I must sleep and therefore cannot always protect my baby, God is never asleep. He is always watching me and my loved ones. After going through recovery, I find myself overflowing with God's grace for those around me. While I've never been shy, I have often been timid about sharing my faith. Now I find myself sharing my experiences with God to family, friends, coworkers, and even cashiers at the grocery store. I am blessed to be leading a group of women at Region. They are a weekly encouragement to me as I watch them grow in their walks with the Lord. They push me to not just explain the steps, but walk along with them in the steps. We are currently on step 6, repentance, and I am greatly looking forward to our celebration night. Recovery in Christ has also affected my marriage. When I am frustrated with my husband for not being a perfect man, I submit to the Lord and focus on allowing myself to be changed. My obsessive thoughts are still there, but when the questions of what ifs and maybes occur in my head, now I answer them with the truth about God. God is on his throne. He is in control of my life. There is no longer pressure to cover my bases. I know God's got everything handled. I am still on my medicine for health issues, but is no longer my source of strength. Recovery is hard, but it's worth it. When you want to give up, don't. Trust in Christ was the life transformation I was needing, and it will be for you as you continue to grow in your relationship with Christ. Romans 8:38-39 says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." If I could say only one thing tonight, it would be to examine how you have responded to your life. Have you trusted in the Lord or in yourself? Are you going to start trusting him? And if so, when? How about tonight? What's holding you back? Thank you for letting me share.